This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the CTF. I'm here with my two good friends, Franco Terrazano. He's our federal director. He's holding down the fort at Mordor, also known as Ottawa, and Devin Drover. Devin Drover is our Atlantic director, and he's also our general counsel, which in normal people talk means our in-house lawyer. And is he ever good? So, guys, we had kind of a double-double, basically, on the last Friday, last week, where we all had to appear at committee, but we had to go to two separate committees. And Mr. Drover stepped into the fray. He had like 15 minutes notice. He had to make his way from the rock off the coast there in Newfoundland and Labrador, and he got all the way into the belly of the beast. Devin, you walked right in to the Environment Committee and you gave a stellar performance explaining why we need to scrap the carbon tax. Now, folks, we are going to play the entire statement from Devin at the committee and the back and forth, which was fantastic. And we have a clip of it in a second. You got to watch this clip first. So, Devin, I do need to ask you, though, off the top, man, how did that feel walking into that committee where a lot of people, to be blunt, aren't really happy to see you there?
Well, I mean, Chris, that makes it even better. There's nothing better than standing up for taxpayers in front of the politicians, some of the very politicians that have voted to increase their taxes, to bring on a carbon tax that's making life more unaffordable, and tell them, no, thousands of taxpayers across this country want things to change, and here's the reason why. And that was a real great feeling to be able to get up there and advocate for our thousands of supporters across this country, including some of my supporters here in Atlantic Canada who are sick of the carbon tax, driving up the cost of heating their homes, getting groceries, getting to work. So it was a fantastic opportunity, and I was so pleased to get to do that this week.
And Devin, you did so good, man. And folks, like Chris said, we are going to play like the full committee appearance, the formal statement, the back and forth, the fireworks, you name it. But I got to throw to a clip real quick. And, you know, as Devin was talking, I was kind of like, how do I even frame this thing? Okay. So folks, at a committee, right, there's all different parties there, the Conservatives, the Bloc, the NDP, and the Liberals. And the Liberals don't exactly like the fact that we're hammering them about their carbon tax. And so one Liberal MP decided to take a run at Devin, right? Metaphorically speaking, of course. And it did end up good for her, okay? So folks, look at this clip between this Liberal MP, who, by the way, has taken shots at us at previous committees before, but watch how she tries to take a shot at Devin, and just look at how Devin responds. It is beautiful. Check this out.
Perhaps, Mr. Drover, you could tell me your background in economics and price and climate policies.
Sure. I have a Bachelor of Science in Economics from Memorial University, and then I completed a law degree and a Master's in Business Administration with a focus in public policy.
And your experience in pricing climate programs?
Sorry, do you mean if I'm experienced in taxing Canadians?
So, just a little background. After Ryan Thorpe and I had finished in the Heritage Committee, we scooted down the hall and sat behind Devin in the audience to kind of give him like moral support because we're there. And as soon as this MP started going off on you, basically saying, what are your qualifications? How dare you come into this room? And what education do you have? Ryan and I looked at each other like, I don't know, what's he going to say? Because like, I haven't creeped your LinkedIn or whatever. Like, I don't know. I know you're a lawyer. And then you said science came out of your mouth and like economics and you're a lawyer and there was all this stuff. Ryan and I almost high-fived, but we restrained ourselves. But that was amazing. Did that just come to you to just answer directly like that on your own? Or like, were you working on it as she was saying it? Like, I don't know if I could have had that good a response.
I mean, it just came natural because it's so outrageous asking anybody's credentials when it comes to how much they're paying in tax. It doesn't matter if you are if you have a PhD or if you're working at your local warehouse, you're getting squeezed by the carbon tax every single day. And I think it really shows how out of touch this government is, where that's where they're going with these questions. And, you know, it doesn't take a PhD in environmental science to see that the carbon tax isn't working. The government's own data shows that. And it doesn't take a PhD in environmental science to show that it's costing you every time you leave the house. So, came natural, was happy to answer that really dumb question and put her in her place, because quite frankly, Canadians taxpayers are sick of this behavior.
Yeah, my husband pointed out that it's like, oh, wait, I thought this was the House of Commons. Am I even allowed in here? Like, it was quite something to have that response. Franco, I think this is the same MP, and you guys will be able to see it during the back and forth in a minute. She's the same MP, isn't she, Devin or Franco, that said we don't have a carbon tax in Canada? I'm not aware of them. Is that the same one?
Absolutely. And what's even funnier is exactly a month ago, she used the word carbon tax in a different committee. So it seems that her own mind seemed to blank on that in this committee. You know, it's silly. We can throw around words as much as we want. Ultimately, it's a tax. It's making life more expensive. They can call it a levy. They can call it pricing. Real Canadians, all Canadians can see the impact it's having on their lives. So, you know, as much as she wants to play with these words, Canadians know what they're talking about and know the impact it's having on them. So, you know, if whatever she wants to call it, it's a tax. And I think I was pretty straightforward with that in my response.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to throw to the full committee appearance in a sec, but like, I just want to stress, like, we've had Devin on our team for like the last hour and a half. Like, it's been longer than that, but he's pretty new to like the formal Canadian Taxpayers Federation team. And you're going to watch the full back and forth at committee, and you're going to be like, we got to kick that bum out as our federal director and put this guy in. Like, you did such a good job fighting for taxpayers. All your points were so good, right? The carbon tax makes life too expensive. It's punishing people for the necessities of life, and it doesn't work. And I think your job there, you know, we're all very proud to have you out there fighting for taxpayers and really giving it to the government and saying enough is enough. But you know what? Like, let's just play the full committee clip. Folks, you're going to hear Devin's formal speech off the top. Then you're going to see all the fireworks between Devin and all the different members of parliament. So, Devin, great job. Folks, enjoy the committee appearance and scrap the carbon tax.
My name is Devin Drover. I'm the General Counsel and Atlantic Director with the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, and are here today on behalf of thousands of Canadian taxpayers who want to see the carbon tax scrapped. This is for three key reasons. First, the carbon tax makes life too expensive. Secondly, Canadians should not be punished for the necessities of life, like driving to work or getting groceries. And the carbon tax is ultimately not working. First, let's talk about that cost to Canadians. It's currently $80 per ton, which adds 18 cents to a liter of gasoline, 21 cents to a liter of diesel, and 15 cents to a cubic meter of natural gas. If you look at this, this costs about an extra $13 for someone to fill up a minivan, $20 extra to fill up a pickup truck, and about $200 extra to fill up a big rig truck with diesel. And let's talk about truckers. Nearly everything we need is brought by a truck. This is no more true than in my home province of Newfoundland and Labrador, where food is delivered by boat to the island's west coast and then trucked 900 kilometers to the island's east coast, where most of the population is. When you charge a carbon tax of 21 cents per liter on diesel, you are charging more for everything. And the Canadian Trucking Alliance says the federal carbon tax will cost that industry about $2 billion this year. And it's not just about the truckers. Let's talk about farmers who grow the food that the truckers bring. They pay the carbon tax on fuels they use to heat their barns, dry grain, and keep livestock alive throughout the very cold winter. The PBO, the Parliamentary Budget Officer, says the carbon tax will cost Canadian farmers $1 billion extra by the year 2030. And I'd like to use this opportunity briefly to thank the members of the Conservative Party, the NDP, and the Bloc for voting to exempt farm fuels from the carbon tax. I understand the bill has been gutted by the Senate and sent back to the House, the unelected Senate, but that's a matter for another day. Let's talk about home heating. We live in a very cold country, and heating our homes is essential for survival. The government admitted that this is a problem when they exempted, for political gains, one would argue, certain fuels for predominantly benefiting Atlantic Canadians. Yet across this country, people are still struggling to heat their homes, who did not receive any form of exemption. For example, the average Alberta household will pay about $440 extra for home heating this winter. It's no surprise that there's a constitutional challenge launched in Alberta to these exemptions. And we wish this government would consider the position of the late leader of the NDP, Jack Layton, who even opposed putting a carbon tax on home heating fuels, because ultimately it is wrong. Secondly, let's talk about affordability. Canadians should not be punished for the basics of life, driving to work, heating their homes. They have, in most cases, no other choice but to do those things. Yet about half of Canadians are within $200 of not being able to make the minimum monthly payments on their bills. These people are scraping by. We're hearing from them every day, receiving letters and emails from supporters who are pulled very difficultly by this carbon tax. And we can go back again to the recent PBO report that shows the carbon tax will cost the average household about $400 extra this year, more than $900 by the year 2030, and that's with the rebates factored in. So despite what the Prime Minister said in Brazil, I think those families are who are in survival mode, they rightly value feeding their children over paying his carbon tax. Lastly, the carbon tax is not working. In British Columbia, where this tax was first brought in Canada, the government promised a 33% reduction in emissions below 2007 levels by 2020. Instead, emissions went up by more than 2%. In 2021, the federal government said it would reduce emissions by 40 to 45% below 2005 levels, and the data is clearly showing that this is not happening, where we went up in emissions. Overall, this carbon tax experiment is a failure. It is causing huge financial gain without the promised environmental gain. It's making life too expensive, and Canadians should not be punished for driving to work and heating their homes. And ultimately, it's not working, and thus, on behalf of thousands of Canadian taxpayers, we are here today to ask the government to scrap this carbon tax. Thank you.
I would like to start with Mr. Drover from the Canadian Taxpayer Federation. Mr. Drover, from what I understand of your organization, you are not necessarily opposed to all taxes at all times, but you tend to focus on getting good value for tax dollars and so Canadians can get good value for their money. Is that correct?
Thank you for the question. I mean, our mandate is finding ways to reduce all taxes in Canada to make sure the government is held accountable. So I wouldn't characterize it quite like that, but it is to make sure that we're cutting taxes, put as much money back in the pockets of taxpayers.
Okay, very good. So in that context, last Thursday in question period, Environment Minister Stephen Guilbeau stated that the carbon tax in Canada is, quote, generating $25 billion worth of investment every year in our economy. It is putting more money in the pockets of 8 out of 10 Canadians, unquote. Mr. Drover, does that statement match the observations of your members and your observations of Canadians in general?
Absolutely not. First, if we want to talk about the macro side of the or the macroeconomic impact of the carbon tax, the government's own data shows that it's costing Canadians $11.9 billion this year. That's $295 gone out of the economy for every Canadian. But also, I mean, if you look at the every individual that is forced to pay this carbon tax on everything they purchase, I would certainly think that it's not good for Canadians as a whole. We look at I think about my mother-in-law who lives in a small community in rural Newfoundland. She has to commute 43 kilometers a day each way for work. She has no public transit. There's no electrical public transit available. There's no electric charging stations. She has no other choice but to incur the carbon tax day in and day out just to get to work. So I absolutely disagree that it's providing benefit for Canadian taxpayers.
Okay. And earlier in this committee meeting, we heard from Canada's climate change ambassador, and she was asked, quote, would you characterize our efforts to address climate change as a huge economic advantage in Canada? And her answer was, yes, absolutely. So when you consider, you know, climate policies in Canada, such as the carbon tax, would you characterize that as a huge economic advantage for Canada?
Absolutely not. And just to, you know, you've mentioned in your questioning the PBO report. If you look at the PBO report in terms of not only just the direct costs, but also the economic impact of the PBO report, it's wrong to classify that all Canadians or the average Canadian household will be better off. In fact, the average Canadian household will be paying more in carbon tax than they get back in the rebates once you factor in the negative impact the carbon tax is having on things like employment in this country.
Now, many Canadians, I think, would probably be surprised to learn that Canada has a climate change ambassador. So she and her office are based in Switzerland, and part of her job includes promoting the global carbon pricing challenge, which is basically to promote the carbon tax to foreign countries. Would the Taxpayers Federation consider this sort of activity a good use or not so good use of Canadian tax dollars?
I think it should be no surprise to any attendee here today to understand that we think that's an absolute waste of money. At points where Canadians are struggling to get by when people are living paycheck to paycheck, we absolutely shouldn't be funding global ambassadors to spend our tax money traveling around to lavish parties talking about how great our Canadian carbon tax is when it's hurting Canadians.
Mr. Drover, the Environment Commissioner audits revealed that the Trudeau government is not conducting value for money audits on various programs such as the Net Zero Accelerator Initiative. In some of these cases, massive corporations are being given millions of dollars in taxpayer money with no clear indication of whether or not there's any value for money nor what emissions will be reduced. So I'm curious your view on the fact that the Trudeau government is freely dispersing taxpayers' hard-earned money without any understanding of whether or not it has any purpose at all.
Thank you for the question. So there's a few things there to unpack. First is the fact that the only way the government will ever get the books balanced in this country is if we stop wasteful spending. And the most successful way that the government of the day in the 90s were able to get there was through significant reviews of every dollar spent. And, you know, we would like to see the federal government actually start to exercise that same level of caution that their predecessors did and actually start doing serious audits of all government programming. And, of course, it's not a good use of tax dollars, and it's not a good use of tax dollars when we see governments handing out cash to any business, regardless of the purpose. So, you know, generally we're opposed to all forms of corporate welfare and think this government needs to stop handing cash out, especially unaudited, to big business.
Thank you. You may have heard in the last conversation we had, as well as the last meeting with Minister Guilbeault, when asked about a new international carbon tax on global shipping. What is your view as an organization on that?
Sorry, on
a new carbon tax, a third one suffering, to add carbon tax to everything we ship around the world and then send the money off to other countries.
No, we're absolutely opposed to all carbon taxes. And I mean, you say that there's just two carbon taxes. It's funny that you even build in the fact that the sales tax is then added on to the post carbon tax price on gasoline. So it's just an out of control tax on tax system that we've set up in this country that absolutely needs to be repealed.
It is ridiculous. And I will just let you, because you were not given the opportunity, comment on Bill C-234, a great piece of legislation that will help farmers despite the Liberals' opposition.
So my understanding is that the blockade right now that the Conservatives have brought in Parliament is under is for, you know, an accountability measure. And I think, you know, I think the Liberals want to get serious about passing that bill, then they can follow through with the government accountability and then bring that legislation to the floor.
Can I have a point of clarification, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I wanted to clarify, the member opposite asked a question about three carbon taxes. I don't know of any carbon taxes in Canada, so I didn't understand the witness's response. Could you please tell me what you're referring to, Mr. Leslie?
Well, no, I don't think that's not in the format here.
Well, it's a clarification. I don't understand the question.
I don't think he really has to clarify, but I don't know what, you know, that maybe... Maybe Mr. Ali can ask about the clarification, because he's next.
Perhaps the witness should be the best response.
Well, okay, I stopped the time, but I'm going to start it up again. So I don't know, maybe Mr. Drover wants to answer that question.
A tax is a tax is a tax, no matter what you call it. So the carbon levy is absolutely a tax. It drives up the price of an item.
And what do you think will happen if, as the minister refused to have a clear answer on whether or not he will stop at $170 a ton in 2030, what do you think a continuing rise in carbon tax is going to do to the Canadians' livelihoods?
Well, think about my mother-in-law, again, in rural Newfoundland and Labrador. If her gasoline price continues to increase, then obviously it's going to have a devastating
effect. Thank you, Ms.
There is no carbon tax currently in Canada. There is a carbon levy under the Price on Pollution program that is in place. That has gone up consistently every year. It has not been quadrupled. And I do not understand what the other two carbon taxes are, so I would actually like to hear from the, at some point, what we're talking about in this.
Question for Mr. Drover, yes?
No, I have no questions for Mr. Drover. Except perhaps, Mr. Drover, you could tell me your background in economics and pricing climate policies.
Sure, I have a Bachelor of Science in Economics from Memorial University, and then I completed a law degree and and a master's in business administration with a focus in public policy.
And your experience in pricing climate programs?
Sorry, do you mean if I'm experienced in taxing Canadians on
No, I'm asking for your experience in pricing climate programs. You gave your opinion on climate programs.
Yes,
I'm just wondering what your experience in pricing climate programs is.
My experience is representing Canadian taxpayers who are being hurt by this tax.
Okay,
every
thank
time
you. So we heard your anecdotal evidence from your mother. I'm just wondering if you had any broader experience to rely on when you were making those statements.
Point of order.
Sure, we can. We can use all your government's own data.
Point of order.
Sorry, I have a point of order from Mr. Mazur. I hope it's a point of order.
Well, it's just that we need to treat our witnesses with some respect here.
Yeah, that's as a general comment, I would agree. I would agree, but sometimes it gets the exchanges get a little robust, and that seems to be normal for committees, at least our committee. Go ahead, Ms. Taylor-Roy, you have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I meant no disrespect. I was simply trying to ascertain the basis on which the witness had presented his statement regarding the carbon levy and the price on pollution program. So no disrespect meant. I was just trying to understand where that perspective came from. So I'm not asking a question, but thank you anyway.